You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome into the Dynasty Draft Room presented by the Sports Illustrated NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ryan Searfoss, joined tonight by, as always, my co-host, Eric Adams. On tonight's show, we're going to be discussing some breakouts and busts for the upcoming season. And remember, if you're enjoying the show, make sure to subscribe and leave us a five-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And when you subscribe, you will get daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, Devy, Fantasy Football podcast, and news from the NFL Draft Bible. And if you want to join the conversation with us, make sure to check out the Draft Bible's Discord channel. And talking about everything from the NFL Draft, Fantasy Football, even video games. So make sure to pop in there. And we're going to hop right into it. Eric, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good, but it's getting hot. You know what that means? It means training camp's right around the corner. Can't wait.
Hey, rookie camp started. It's beautiful. I'm already going crazy watching these highlights.
Yes, sir.
Can't wait. Everyone's going to fall in hype. Take advantage. Make trades for guys who you know aren't good, but are making bonkers plays.
Amen. Amen to that.
But, so we're doing breakouts and busts tonight. We each brought a few players. For some reason, we've been in the negative recently, so we're going to start out on the flip side. Eric, give me a bust who you think is a player who's being overvalued this year and may let us down, especially at their current ADPs.
I hate that I'm starting with a tight end because I feel like, A, it's cheap and a cop-out. And B, I tend to like tight ends, so this is going against the grain of everything I stand for. Dallas Goedert. I think we're all a little too excited for Dallas Goedert, and I am probably guilty of most of that, you know, jump-starting most of that hype, because I love Dallas Goedert as a player. I think he deserves to start on a team. I've said that since day one, since they drafted him, which I hated it. Everyone that listens to the show knows that I'm not a Jalen Hurts fan.
All right. Not at all.
Not at all. Definitely don't think he's a good quarterback. Don't think he can throw. See his 52 completion percentage, which is god awful. We're talking with that completion percentage, we're talking about a Josh Allen type jump. He's not going to make that Josh Allen type jump. Couple that with the fact that I really just don't know if the Eagles know what they're doing. Couple that with the fact that Zach Ertz is still on the team. I feel like we're hoping we get that Dallas Goedert breakout. It really doesn't feel like it's going to be this year. It just really doesn't feel like it. Like I said, I hate this. I want Dallas Goedert to be a stud, and he is a stud, but the situation right now does not call for him being a stud. So.
So his ADP is like super low still.
Well, he's a tight end.
Yeah, I meant for tight ends, but yeah. Devil's advocate, just one thing. With the struggles as a passer for Jalen Hurts, where do you think he'll focus if he's struggling? That's where I think Goddard comes into it.
I think he'll focus on the Heisman Trophy winner they just drafted.
Okay.
Instead of Goddard. I don't know. I get it, man. I get it. The safety valve of the tight end. That's always a quarterback's best friend. But just not feeling. I'd feel a lot better if they traded Ertz. If they traded Ertz, then I'm probably going to change my tune, because that just opens the door for a lot more playing time. Even if you think Ertz is washed and he has been surpassed by Goddard, just his presence there is annoying for me. he'll get on the field. So
he's good enough to stay. He's good enough to be a thorn in your side, especially in the red zone.
Exactly.
Absolutely get that. So I guess I'm just gonna start my Steeler hate early. And it's nothing as a team, but it's everything with the situation. Deontay Johnson, he was so inefficient last year. So he was 8th in targets in the NFL and finished 27th in yards. Of the 22 wide receivers had over 115 targets last year. Out of those 22 receivers, only one had less yards than him. So the volume doesn't match up. His ADOT was 88 in the league, and he still led the league in drops. The Steelers team was made last year. They passed 626 times, so they threw as much as anybody. And they had a breakout Claypool receiver. Now they added another tight end. And big thing, they drafted a running back in the first round, Najee Harris. When you draft a running back in the first round, you don't take him not to use him. Unless you're the Chiefs and have Patrick Mahomes. You have an aging Ben Roethlisberger, and the team's going to protect him. And there was some crazy talk in camp today from one of the Steelers, someone on their line, I can't remember who it was, talking about how Najee Harris is a 30 to 40 carry guy. I don't think he'll get that, but if he's a 20-plus carry guy, guess what? That 144 targets drops to 122, which means with his efficiency, that goes down. So his 840 receiving yards goes down to 7-something. And those touchdowns that he got in the red zone, a lot are going to the running backs now because they can actually run. They should be able to run the ball. It's just not pretty there. There's a lot of receiving threats, and now they have a running back. So I don't think Deontay Johnson is going to live up to what we're looking at for him.
Yeah, look, Deontay Johnson didn't hit 1,000 yards last year. That's where I'm going to start. 144 targets, that's great. 88 receptions on 144 targets, that's not. And to get to that number of his stat line, they had to throw the ball 656 times. Something's got to give in Pittsburgh. This is not like sustainable at all.
No. So, his average depth of target was 88th in the league.
Yeah, that's real bad. That's
real bad. Like, I know it's really exciting somebody getting targeted that much. I go after players who get highly targeted consistently. And this just doesn't do it. And Juju missed a lot of time last year, was beat up. And Juju didn't drop the ball. Like, he was top 10 in catch percentage where Deontay Johnson led the league in drops. Like, the ball's going to be going to the guy who catches the ball.
And you add Pat Freiermuth.
Yep.
Najee Harris is going to get catches. Claypool's is honestly emerging.
Why don't we jump into your breakout then with him, since he was on your breakout list?
He was on my breakout list.
Transition to one point. What?
Now, I'm going to use this for my argument. They threw the ball 656 times last year. All right.
Yeah.
Just call it a hunch. I know that's not what you want to hear from a fantasy analyst. You want a little more concrete than that. But Claypool looks like the guy. He just looks like he's the stud. He does things that Johnson and Juju can't. I see him as being the number one wide receiver on that team. Like, I've been vocal that ever since Claypool broke out on the scene last year, I think he's the guy you want. He's going to be the one that does the most with whatever the hell they have throwing him the ball. I think he's going to be the one that gets the touchdowns. I think he could break tackles and get yards after the catch. He's the guy I want. If I'm going to pick somebody from Pittsburgh, I'm going to pick Chase Claypool. I view him as the guy you should probably make a long-term investment in. I like him and his efficiency more than Deontay Johnson.
And he's a beast in the red zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
you can't teach 6'4". You can't teach.
No, not at all. And if we're looking at their ADP right now, Johnson is wide receiver 25. Claypool is wide receiver 30.
Give me Claypool all day. All day.
All day. Claypool has the big game potential. Like, we've seen him do the 3 for 120. Yep. He has multiple touchdown potential. Like, he's the guy there.
Yes.
Him and Juju, I think Deontay's third in the pecking order.
I agree with that. He could fall to fourth if Freiermuth can do what I think he could possibly do.
Let's pump the brakes on Freiermuth. But he could lose targets in the passing game to Najee Harris because of what a great receiving threat he was.
He could.
Or is.
Absolutely. I expect Najee to eat. I expect Najee to eat, for sure.
Apparently, I want to pair a positive and negative together for me, because I think we're backwards on how we're viewing this. And it's Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, I'm intrigued.
I think we're overvaluing Ayuk and kind of forgetting what Deebo Samuel was the year before. So, start with Ayuk. Similar to Deontay Johnson. So, of wide receivers, 95 targets. Only two other receivers had less receiving yards than him. And that was Darnell Mooney and AJ Green. And that's like that's out of like 47 receivers. His average depth target, also low, not quite as low as Johnson, 72nd. Now, if you're looking at him, I'm going to compare him and Deebo Samuel from Ayuk's year last year to Samuel's the year before when he was the guy. True catch percentage is pretty close, 54 and 45. Yards per target, Ayuk 72nd, Deebo was 12th. Target separation, so just getting open, which is very important when you're coming to a rookie quarterback who came from a younger quarterback who's going to be thrown to – who's going to go towards guys who are more open. Brandon Ayuk was 89th. Deebo was 15th. Yards after catch, Brandon Ayuk 3.2 per target, Deebo over five. So we're talking Deebo is more efficient before and after he gets the ball. His run after the catch is better. He gets open better. And he moves around more. So we're seeing him move in the slot, moved outside. He's, in fact, the number two target there behind George Kittle. And I don't think it's going to change. I think we got really excited about Ayuk because he had that nice little stretch when he was getting 8, 12, 15 targets because there was nobody else there. Nobody was healthy. And the few games where everybody was healthy, he was getting trash coverage. You get a healthy Deebo in there with a quarterback who slings the ball a little bit and is throwing deep, takes some chances. It's got to be Samuel, man. I think we're really undervaluing him. I think he's a stud. We loved him before he got hurt, and this is just a case of newer is better, but it's really not.
That's a good good summation of where they're at with those two in San Francisco. The only thing I'm going to add is it's going to be interesting. Like, we know what the 49ers offense looks like with Jimmy in there. We don't know what it looks like with Trey Lance in there. That's the only thing I'm going to add. So I don't know if Trey Lance is going to show an affinity for one more than the other. We don't know that.
ADP-wise, Brandon Ayuk's at 41.5. Mm-hmm. Deebo's at 72.
If that's the case, I would take Deebo.
It's a huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's the other part of it. Maybe it's a case – it's not – it's bad. It's just we're really overvalued. Fourth-round ADP on him when he was so inefficient, that's not something I need. That's not a cake I'm eating. I'm not going there.
That's fair. That's fair. I honestly like what San Fran has. I think all three of them can eat, but it is going to be something that we're going to have a feeling out process for this season once Trey Lance gets in there. Cause like I said, we just don't know. We don't know what that's going to look like.
Do we think Trey Lance is going to stretch the ball out more? I mean, he has to stretch more than Jimmy G did.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Like, he's slaying the ball in college. I know it was lesser competition, but he really could slay it, man. And that tells me Debo. By a lot.
I think the thing that gives the edge to Debo over Ayuk for me is I saw Shanahan use Debo in more creative ways. He is the one getting jet sweeps and tosses out of the backfield.
He's all over.
Yeah, he seems to be the old OW, the offensive weapon. Ayuk just is a straight up wide receiver. So, look, yep. I think the offense is going to eat either way. I really think they're going to eat. But if you want to plant a flag, I'd probably agree with you. I do like Debo more. I do like Debo more.
Nice. Give me back to backs. So you want to bust or break out first?
I'm going to go with my second bust here. I want to get the bust out of the way.
Get it out of the way.
Laviska Shenault. This one hurts. This hurts. I don't know if we know what we're doing in Jacksonville here. I'm getting a little nervous. We're signing my former NFL quarterbacks / minor league baseball players to play tight end.
We don't speak of him.
Yeah. I didn't say his name. We're saying Travis Etienne's about to start running routes and being a wide receiver. That makes no sense to me, even though I think he's a good receiving back. I'm starting to think we don't know what's going on in Jacksonville here. I'm a little nervous. I get it. I love Trevor Lawrence just as much as the next guy, and I think he's a stud. But this feels a little weird. I don't know, man. There's a weird aura around the Jaguars right now. I wouldn't blame you if, like, you know, you're seeing last year from Shenault, everyone's like, wow, that was a pretty good, impressive first rookie year. Maybe he really will be as good as we thought he would be coming out of the draft. I wouldn't blame you if you capitalized on that and traded him. If you did that, I wouldn't have a gripe. There's just a lot of uncertainty in Jacksonville right now, and I'm not liking it. I'm not liking it. Where there's smoke, there's fire. There's some smoke in Jacksonville right now.
Yeah. It's funny. I almost had Shark as one of my breakout players.
I worry a little less about Shark because we've seen him do it with crap quarterbacks. I shouldn't say crap quarterbacks. I love Gardner Minshew, but Shark is broken out already. Shark is, like, I view Shark as already broken out. Visca, we're waiting on. Like, we're hoping he could take that next step this year. And I don't know, because that was the old regime drafting Laviska. You never know once the new regime comes in how they view these guys. I don't know. I don't really like the way Jacksonville's heading with, especially in terms of Laviska Shenault, which is stupid because Laviska Shenault is a very, very talented individual. But I don't know. That one, that's the one in my bus column that I really hope I'm wrong about, because I really do like Laviska Shenault.
Yeah, it's really weird. You're talking about, you mentioned the ETN thing and how they're using him, yeah, or how he's a receiver. I feel like the way that Urban Meyer was talking about using ETN is the way they should be using Laviska Shenault.
Yeah. If they replaced ETN and went with Visca in that sense, I would have been like, hell yeah. Oh my God, this is great. And instead they did it with the first round rookie running back. And I don't like that. I don't really like that at all. That's actually the first time I looked at ETN and I'm like, maybe people are right. Maybe this is a weird landing spot. I'm still in the corner of ETN, cause I think he's a true talent, but Just a weird situation going on in Jacksonville there.
None of it makes sense to me. I don't trust Urban.
I don't think I trust it either. I think I'm with you.
All right. Give me someone you're excited about.
Okay. All right. Ryan, yeah, I'm sure this is the part of the pod that you were waiting for. J.K. Dobbins. there's just no way J.K. Dobbins doesn't eat this year. You got Ingram gone. I know he only had 72 carries, but he's gone. The Baltimore Ravens ran the ball 555 times last year. I understand there's context there with Lamar running the ball 159 of those times, but J.K. Dobbins ran the ball 134 times. He caught 18 passes. I think he's a shoo-in for close to 250 touches this year. Like, I get it. Gus Edwards is as solid as they come, as consistent as they come. He's not going to hold J.K. Dobbins back. There's just no way they do that. So I'm viewing Dobbins walking in as the number one running back this year. And honestly, they run the ball so well. Even with the departures on the offensive line, they've filled those holes very well, unlike another guy I'm going to be talking about in a couple minutes. I really, really like J.K. Dobbins this year. I think he's going to eat. I think Ben Cleveland's going to eat people. I'm ready for them to run people over. And I get it, guys. They drafted Bateman. They drafted Wallace. They want to add firepower to the passing game. They want to prove that they can pass the ball. You don't go away from your bread and butter. You don't go away from your identity. The Ravens' identity is running the ball.
Yeah.
They're going to still be a running football team.
Just think if those receivers do start to do well and them holes and you're not seeing eight in the box every play. Holy crap. He averaged five a pop last year. Yep. He didn't start getting the ball until halfway through the season. He's a pure stud.
He actually averaged six a pop.
Six a pop, sorry. That was Gus Edwards averaging five a pop. And Gus Edwards just runs north south.
Yep.
He got a little juice, but he ain't what J.K. Dobbins is. Lamar Jackson makes running the ball so easy for a running back because they're so afraid of Lamar.
Yes, sir.
It's perfect. Like, you have a running quarterback, your running backs are always better. And if your running backs are that talented, it's golden.
Yes, sir. Amen. I wanted to put Dobbins here because
I'm getting my last negative out of the way just because I want to end on two positives.
Okay.
And like, this one hurts because he's such a good player. And just the situation is not good. He was viewed as some people's wide receiver one in Dynasty going into the 2020 season. My other co-host, Jeff Lambert, shout out, was one of the people who I said overvalued, but one overall. And that's Chris Godwin. And like I said, I love Chris Godwin. This isn't a knock on him. It's a knock on the situation. I'm going to call the Patriots, my God, because just Tom Brady's there. The Tom Brady team, the Bucs, they're inconsistent how they spread the ball around. So he played 12 games last year. In those 12 games, he had one game over 100 yards, and that was versus the Falcons, which is just a shootout. He had four games under 50. There were four wide receivers with 50-plus targets, five players total with over 50 targets, seven players over 40 targets. He only broke 20 PPR points twice last year, when the year before he was just laying it up. The entire offense is back, and there's nothing consistent on who gets the ball other than Mike Evans in the red zone. Like, I don't trust any of it. It could be a wait and see, but if I'm trying to win now, Godwin's not on my radar. Like, I'm not viewing him as a wide receiver two this year because I don't know if he can put up wide receiver two numbers. He's more of a flex play at this point in this situation. And I hope he leaves next year and they don't tag him again. But as of now, man, he's fantasy fool's gold. Like, I'm completely off this train. Like,
I can't blame you.
I want to like him. I want to be on this train because he's a good player. But he doesn't do anything that's special to separate with the team with Mike Evans as your wide receiver one and Tom Brady, who's as good as anybody at spreading the ball around.
Yeah, I can't blame you for putting him there. Your argument makes sense. The only thing I will say is that with him being in a contract year, and Tom definitely knows that, I could see a sense where Tom feeds him. But the big problem, like, I wouldn't have a problem with Godwin if they didn't re-sign Antonio Brown. re-signing Antonio Brown takes everything off the table for me with Godwin. Because Brown
still love Scotty Miller for some god awful reason.
Show some respect to somebody who caught a touchdown in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, it's some god-awful reason. And Gronk is 102 and still getting targets. And Cameron Brate still gets – it's trash. It's all trash. I hate it. Let's see. Who you got for me? You got one more negative. We're going to add and pure positive. Give me this last bus for you.
We're just going to pile it on here.
And it just hurts my heart.
It does. This is bad. Josh Jacobs, by no fault of his own. they just nuked their O-line. I don't know how Josh Jacobs is going to do this season, but he should probably talk to Saquon Barkley because Saquon understands what it feels like to get walloped in the backfield before he even gets to the line of scrimmage a bunch of times. So that's what's going to happen to Josh Jacobs this year, unfortunately. They did nothing. They did nothing to quell my fears about that O-line. I thought what Cincinnati did was bad. Oakland, Las Vegas, wherever the hell they are, bad. Real bad. This isn't a case where, like, you sell him because it could end up just being this one year. My problem is I don't know how much better this is going to get because this is Gruden's Raiders. This is Gruden and Mayock's Raiders. This is what they do. I thought about this in the car the other day. They have been a question mark since they've taken over the Raiders. They've performed admirably better than I thought they would, but I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. That O-line is nuked. They're going to have a tough time running the football.
They're frustrating. Still come out and beat the Chiefs. You're like, oh, you know what? They're doing a good job. Then you look at the season, and like they're playing trash for 3 weeks. They'll have a big win. And during the season, you're like, oh, he did enough to keep his job. Then you look back at the summation. It's all terrible. And you know what else you forgot? They signed Kenyon Drake just to muddy it up more.
Yep. Yep. Didn't even mention Drake. And gets worse. It gets worse. Just it's not a positive outlook for Josh Jacobs. That is a guy I'd be very weary of this year.
All right. I'm gonna get a tight end because you went tight end negative start. I'm going with Cole Kmet. I'm so excited about Cole Kmet this year. I'm planting my flag early and often. The kid's a stud, he has talent. He has the size, athleticism, and now he's a real quarterback. So last year he was working with the Nick Foles, Mitch Trubisky trash can, and also getting over Jimmy Graham, who's a legend in his own right. So Cole Kmet on the season last year, weeks 1 through 10, if you look at his routes run, the most he had in any game was 15 total routes run through the first 10 weeks. In those same 10 weeks, Jimmy Graham was over 30 in almost all of them. Fast forward to weeks 12 through 17, it flipped. He was hit. Jimmy Graham went to under 20 every single one. And Cole Kmet was shooting around that 30 mark. So they completely flipped around. To go with it, his target separation was 9th, his true catch percentage was 4th. So the reason he was getting all those routes his way was because he was getting open and catching everything. So Jimmy Graham last year had 76 targets to Cole Kmet's 44. And that's before they basically just switched roles week 11 or week 12. So this easily puts Cole Kmet in a 80 to 100 target range on this offense. It really only has Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney. And now we have Justin Fields in, a young quarterback, a lot of time young quarterbacks, especially mobile ones, tend to gravitate towards their tight ends, especially when they're a big body like that. The future's bright, man. This kid's getting open, making contested catches. He's going to be Justin Fields' best friend and probably be second on that team in targets next to Allen Robinson.
I can get on board with that. I like me some Cole Kmet.
I'm gonna own a lot of him this year. I can promise that. Like, I'm going to start accumulating him everywhere for cheap. because he's at the price now where he's almost throwing player on trades, and he has top 10 tight end potential. I mean, you don't need a lot to do that, but I think he has that.
I dig it. Look, man, I know everyone's excited about Allen Robinson, but yeah, Kmet and like you said, Mooney, you should be excited about those two guys because this finally unlocks them with Fields slotting in there. I like it a lot.
I'm excited about this team in general with Fields there. It changes everything.
It really
does. The issue was 100% quarterback.
If Rodgers isn't in Green Bay, I could see them winning that division. I could see it.
But yeah, absolutely.
All right, my final breakout guy.
Give me your boy.
Oh yeah, this feels right that we're ending on this.
I still got one left, but yeah, you're ending on
for
your
me.
Boy.
For me, it feels right that we end with Clyde Edwards Helaire's breakout, which is what he's going to do this year. 13 games, 181 attempts, 803 yards. He only had 4 rushing touchdowns, but they couldn't run blocks to save their life last year. He got 54 targets, 36 receptions. Nobody's talking about that, and that's on the low end for me. If he plays 3 more games, he's having a year where you people can't trash him on Twitter. Let me tell you something right now. The Chiefs are going to run the ball well this year. Very well. Very effectively, as a matter of fact. Because I've watched Joe Tooney run block. It's a beautiful thing. I've seen Creed Humphrey run block. It's a beautiful thing. Orlando Brown run blocking works. They're going to block their ass off for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I am ready to watch Clyde Edwards-Helaire absolutely bust out this year because there is nobody taking carries from him. He's still a fantastic pass-catching back. I hope all of you who crapped on Clyde Edwards-Helaire and the people who like Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a very nice summer. I hope you have a very, very nice summer because in the fall and the winter months, I'm not going to be nice to you. I'm going to be very mean to you. Very mean to you. A lot of you people got something real mean coming to you. The receipts are going to flow. Trust me.
I was a little bit lower on him last year because his value was so high. Now his value is too low, and I'm all in.
There you go.
I started trading for Clyde Edwards-Helaire because his value is where it's worth getting. When he was going in the first round of fantasy draft, like startups, I was out. Like it wasn't worth it for me. First, second round last year, you didn't have it. But now with him falling, all in.
What is his ADP right now?
So, guy I want to talk about was also a rookie last year. I feel like he got shit on a little bit, and people were acting like he had a bad year. It's Jerry Jeudy. So, we talked about how Deontay Johnson had under 850 yards with 144 targets. Jerry Jeudy was over that mark with 850 yards with only 113 targets. He did that with Jeff Driskel ripping that Hinton dude who's a wide receiver played quarterback and Drew Lock. So he had 4 quarterbacks in the rookie years. And they took shots at him right away. He was 6th in air yards. He was 2nd in unrealized air yards. So they left 965 yards on the field with him last year. He was 7th in the league in deep targets. He was deep targeted 95 times. His yards per attempt was 11. Yes, his drops were a little bit of an issue. That happens. He was a rookie. But he was also one of those inaccurately targeted receivers in the league. There, only 62% of his passes were on the money. It was 105th in the league. So, they were missing him left and right. I'm not saying Drew Lock's much better, but Drew Lock, every single game and healthy, is a lot better than Drew Lock, Jeff Driskel, ripping and hitting. And Jeudy does it all, man. I think we're going to wake up at the end of the year, see Jerry Jeudy over that 1,100-yard mark because he has that in him. Say we add half of that unrealized air yards to him, so even 300, 400 of it to his 856, worth that 1,100 mark, easy. It's there. And the 3 touchdowns, the offense just needs to improve and have a healthy quarterback. That's something when you're being targeted a lot, indeed, that's going to come around. it's all there. We viewed him as a top two wide receiver all rookie drafts last year, and now he's being drafted below like six other receivers from last year's draft. This is it's patience, man. Like, we're a year too early, and he was still playable.
You hit the key word right there, patience. I have nothing nice to say about Drew Lock, so I can't help you there. But his situation's going to get better. All right, Jerry Jeudy's situation will get better. He's a very, very good player. He had a great year, like you said, that people seem to love to crap on, which is really weird. I'm with you. If he broke out this year, I think it would be a year earlier than I thought it would be. But I mean, like you said, it's all there for him. It is all there for him to be a dynamic threat. So I like that you threw him in there.
And we've seen receivers overcome bad quarterback play. Allen Robinson's made a career out of it.
He has. Absolutely.
Like, it's got to get better. Just be patient.
Patience is key, people. Patience is the key.
Yeah, like, I'm all in on there. He's another guy buying everywhere. I would trade Brandon Ayuk for him straight up.
Ooh. Now that's something to put on Twitter.
I think you 9 times out of 10 have Brandon Ayuk. And Deontay Johnson.
If it's a pre-2020 draft, I'm not disagreeing with you.
I'm saying right now, today, it would happen. But
I like it.
Awesome, guys. Well, appreciate you guys stopping. Eric, you working on anything cool?
We got something. We got a very interesting debate article idea that I'm going to flesh out a little more. Be on the lookout for that, because I think that's gonna be fun. We're gonna have the fantasy guys here at Sports Illustrated Draft Bible working on that. So keep an eye out for that. That should be out hopefully sometime during June. But I'm gonna get that ball rolling.
Cool. And Tyler, where can we find you?
The FF_Taters on Twitter and Hey_Taters on Twitch. And I'm probably gonna start a YouTube channel soon, just because I recorded myself playing Resident Evil Village, and it was just gosh darn hilarious. So I'll throw up some videos on that.
I'm proud to watch that. Awesome. And find me at Foss534. And guys, thanks for checking out this episode of Dynasty Draft Room, presented by the Sports Illustrated Draft Bible Podcast Network. And remember, if you enjoyed the episode and aren't subscribing already, hit that little subscribe button. Leave a 5-star review. It literally takes 30 seconds. Say something nice if you want. And we really appreciate it. It goes a long way. And we'll catch y'all next week.
Later, taters.